other techniques. Let's talk. This is just strictly for me. Y'all can listen if you want. But I want to learn something. Techniques that you've used in the past are things that are just like that you won't find in a textbook. Something that you, it's just like, you know, I found this something one time and it's killer and I use it all the time. Or just something that worked one time that's never worked again. Just some kind of vocal recording or sound reinforcement technique that probably nobody knows but you until after today.
Well, I don't know if nobody knows, but I've used, for instance, stereo mics for vocal recording, where you have two mics that are basically the same capsule. Obviously, it needs to be one that can be turned in the same direction. And then you set one capsule up or one mic up for a little bit more sensitive and one mic a little bit less sensitive. They're in this range. So if the singer is about a foot away, they kind of hit the capsules at the same angle. But now you have one where in the chorus they can belt it out and you use the lower sensitive capsule. And in the verses, you have the higher sensitive capsule that will be distorted in the chorus.
Gotcha.
So you just cut them. You know, you edit them that the loud parts come from one track and the low parts come from another track. It's basically the same mic, but that way you need to compress a lot less. Mm-hmm. You know, because if somebody goes from here to there, you will have to compress it to get that dynamic in check. With a stereo mic, for instance, you can get around that. But then you're probably looking at a fairly expensive stereo mic.
Right, exactly.
And the priest to go with it.
Well, and cool. you mentioned Ross's technique. You stole my thunder. You mentioned Ross's technique about using two microphones. I was recording an album one time where we had a 47, a vintage 47, which sounded great, but in the choruses, the singer would just blow it out, and it was like, I don't want to give it up. And so basically I put the 47 and an SM7 right next to it, and we recorded everything through both. And there were times, as much as I hate to admit it, there were times when it's like, okay, we can't use that, and so I had to match the sound of the SM7 to the 47, and now I listen back to the record and I go, I don't remember which lines I had to swap in, but you know, you can make them match, and it's believable.
And it's mostly a factor of what comes after the mic. The mic can stand quite a bit of pressure and volume.
The 47, it was not designed to have somebody singing into it from 4 inches. Mm-hmm. And at least the ones that I've used, can't take it. But
at least once.
You're right.
Right. Well, I had to do something kind of strange a year or two ago. It was a live performance. It was basically an acoustic performance with just a singer, two acoustic guitars, and it was for a television show. But we got back in the studio and got to listen to it as we started to mix, and the singer just did not like the way the vocal microphone picked himself up at all. It had a really strange bump that his voice always has and we always fight with. He says, man, you know, I wish I could just use that M67 that I just used on this record. And I said, well, let's go rent it. So we did. But what we did is we put a Genelec up in the microphone in the studio, and we cordoned it off really nice, and ran the live track through it and recorded it through the U67. And all of a sudden he went, yeah, that sounds fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was amazed.
The pre-recorded
I was almost
track.
Kidding him. Yeah, I was almost kidding him. And he said, well, let's try it. So we did, and I'll be damned if it didn't work. It was bizarre. I would have never thought it. I was really kidding. Although I've done that on acoustic guitars in the past, you know, direct acoustics.
Oh, sure.
You know, put it through something just to take the 1K edge out of it. But it actually worked, and he didn't have to re-sing everything, and I was truly amazed. That's what went out.
That's very cool.
I even took a picture of it.
I bet.
For a joke.
Other ideas, techniques. Anybody?
I'm sticking with the RV recording.
That's great. I'll tell you one thing. One little trick on pops and stuff. You got a pop screen that isn't totally covering you. Because somebody really pops their peas. Oh. I'll take a pencil and I'll tape it to the pop screen, right in front of the diaphragm. And it'll help split the wind a little bit more.
Oh, that's
help you out.
I've seen it taped to the screen of the microphone instead of the screen as well. Yeah.
And sometimes you can get by with the pencil if you're not liking, you're really getting kind of sensitive to how the mic sounds, and the pop screen changes it too much, you can use a pencil, and it'll get you through sometimes.
I've heard about that. I've never used it. I could have used that last week. We ended up with 3 pop filters in front of the singer.
Yikes.
Yikes is right. But it was like, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything else that they want to say? I mean, I'm just dying to go into preamps, but we better not go there.
I want to add something that I got out from when I was a kid. You know, there was a trend
when?
That said, yeah, last week. and there was when I was, you know, had a little 4-track and I was just kind of starting off in the garage and, you know, there was this trend that I was reading and noticing in records of to use less reverb. You know, mixes were getting drier and punchier and tighter and even more dynamic. And
right.
Well, I appreciate the laughter. And my curiosity was, okay, well, I just had got my first reverb processor, a Quadreverb, and now that I've got this, you're telling me not to use it?
Exactly.
I don't understand. I know. You know? I'm high-fiving you from over here. So this kid had written in to Electronic Musician and said, hey, if we're not supposed to use reverbs and effects, then how are we supposed to get depth to our recordings? And I'll just share this with you guys. It forever changed my life before I knew it shouldn't. But the response of the editor was one line, and it said, move the mic. And it was like, wow, cool.
Yeah.
Proximity. You know, today the gent that was singing was so awesome. You know, we're dealing with plosives, and we're all listening to these mics, and it was a really great moment. And consistently, every time he'd sing the track, from mic to mic, he'd pull off the side of the mic at the same point, or he'd back off just to hear it. And we really got to experience these mics today in a really even performance environment. Mm-hmm. Singing a cappella with no cans. Thanks, Frank. Whoever said, you know, thanks. I mean, this was a really honest response. Moving the mic for depth, for proximity and condensers, change the mic. You know, try something different. We're all talking about vocal mics and all this stuff, but there is different flavors, Michael said. But simply the distance, you know.
Polar pattern.
Yeah, cutting vocals in your bathroom. If that doesn't work, go to your friend's bathroom. Maybe he's got a tile shower. You know, I mean, it's your
everybody
your
sounds great in the shower.
You know, well, and occasionally, I mean, I'll be honest, in my vocal booth, having that moderate ceiling for that just single first order reflection, man, I love vocals that I cut there. So move the mic. That was all I really wanted to say.
That's cool.
Well, you know, I, something that occurs to me, something that I realized years ago, is that because we don't just do concerts, we also do movies and we do commercials. We do a lot of voiceover recording, do a lot of sound design where we record sound effects and put them into movies. One thing that I noticed is that, and it really helped a lot when I started mixing music and trying to get depth, is as you move around in your daily life, take notice of the way things sound. And notice that somebody who speaks 20 feet from you or from across the road, how do they sound different? How do they sound different? When you hear a car go by, or if you hear an ambulance a block away versus right in your face, how does it sound different? What is it that makes it sound far away? You know, maybe it's presence, maybe it's low end or lack of low end. At my house down here where I live, you know, when the helicopters come in, because of the reflections off the building, you can get all kind of different angles and assumptions about where that helicopter is. But what is it that makes things sound the way that they do? And if somebody's shouting from a block away, you hear all the reflections off the buildings, and that's part of what cues your ear that they're not right in front of you. And so I think in mixing, there's a lot of things that you can listen to in your environment and then start to find ways to duplicate those things when you start mixing. It's easy to make a microphone sound farther away, even if the mic's close. You know, thin it out and take the top end a little bit so that it's a little duller, and that's what cues your ear that it's farther away.
It's not adding reverb, because if you take a microphone, if you record a vocal that's 6 inches away from the microphone, and people say, well, that make it sound farther away, and you can add all the reverb you want. It doesn't sound farther away. It still sounds like it's 6 inches away.
Right.
That's one of the problems I have with a lot of the recordings these days, is you can use all kinds of processings and all kinds of delays and all kinds of reverbs, But if everything is recorded 6 inches away from a microphone, it all sounds like it's 6 inches away from you, right. No matter the amplitude. Right. And it's, right. You know, it's like, okay, well, have the saxophone player stand in the middle of the room and put a microphone over here and a microphone over here and make a 15-foot equilateral triangle and record it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got something that it just sits in that space. Mm-hmm. Now, another technique that I've used, and this is because there are younger people here that may not have done this, it's something we've done a lot in the past. If you find a singer that can't sing with headphones, and there are singers that are extremely uncomfortable with headphones, one thing you could do is put speakers up in front of them. We used to do this with NS10s. As a matter of fact, I did a record over at Quad in the Trident room where the A-range used to be. And we had everybody live on the floor, but the singer couldn't hear herself because with drums, two guitars, bass, and she couldn't hear herself. So what we ended up doing was putting a pair of NS10s up right in front of her. So it just folded her back to her. And that's all she needed. Sometimes you can do the same. The most common trick is to put them up left and right and then reverse the polarity on one of them so that the sound that arrives at the microphone from the speakers, other than the reflections, completely cancels out. And then that way somebody can listen to the track and sing without using headphones. And that works very, very well for some people.